T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations who have a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Nicole McCain from the Pancreatic Cancer Network and Mr. Kenny Annette, who is a survivor. Kenny and Nicole, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you, Chris, for having us on today.
Oh, for
great,
sure.
Great, thank you.
For sure. I'm glad both of you could join us. And Nicole, first of all, tell everybody about the mission of the Pancreatic Cancer Network.
Well, our mission started back in 1999 when the organization was founded. Basically, we got together a group of individuals in 1999 who wanted to fight against pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. With it being the world's toughest cancer, it is the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S., claiming the lives of 89% of its victims within 5 years.
Wow.
It is on track to become the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths around 2030. And in 2022, an estimated 62,210 Americans have been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and around 50,000 have died from the disease.
Nicole, can you tell everyone not just the symptoms of pancreatic cancer so they can be aware and make sure they go to the doctor regularly, but how do people get it?
That's a great question. There is a lot of unknowns with pancreatic cancer. A few of the symptoms are often vague, and unfortunately, not many people can name them. Symptoms include abdominal or mid-back pain, unexplained weight loss, jaundice, loss of appetite, indigestion, changes in stool, and new onset diabetes. The early diagnosis is vital, which is one of the reasons why PanCAN is so active in the community and why we are trying to advocate for the patients and their families, and continue to start new clinical trials so that we can get early detection. It's very important with this disease that you listen to your body, mm-hmm, and you don't ignore the signs. If anyone has any symptoms, speak to your healthcare provider immediately as soon as you can, or call PanCAN at 1-877-2-PANCAN to speak with a patient central associate.
You know, what's interesting about this is you don't hear about it enough. And again, you guys are leading the fight, trying to improve the lives of those affected and help people in a comprehensive way. So you're trying to let people know about the signs and let people know that you can overcome this thing. In fact, Kenny, you are a survivor. Can you talk about your story, how you found out that you had it, and some of the things you went through? Because literally, sometimes when people hear the story, that might make them want to go get a checkup.
Of course. I lost my father at the age of 8 to tuberculosis. Knowing that TB can stay and transmit from one generation to the other, anytime I had any abnormality, any pain, any discomfort in my chest area, I would go to my doctor and have him check me. Most of my life, I was a fighter pilot, so I was extremely healthy, never had any issues. Summer of 2009, I had another episode of lower chest or upper abdominal chest pain, and and went to my doctor as usual, you know, to check. And you know, he said, well, you're healthy. We've got an x-ray. He said, you're fine. He looked at my eyes and said, wait a minute. Why are your eyes yellow?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't have any back pain. I didn't have any loss of appetite or diarrhea. I had none of those, nothing. He said, well, lay down here and touch my belly. And he said, well, I want to check something. Let me give me some blood test. Okay. I give him the blood and went on my life. Next day, he called me, said, have you had lunch? I said, nope. He said, don't. I'm checking you in. It's an emergency to the hospital. You have pancreatitis. I had no clue what it was.
Right.
So went to the hospital. He was waiting for me. Checked me in. They did some tests. They did some MRIs. And sure enough, they found a little shadow. One frame out of 300 and some. So I was referred to a very well-known GI doctor to do some more testing. I still had no problem. I had no weight loss. I was just living a normal life. He checked me out and said, well, I need to go inside and take a look, do an endoscopy. So he scheduled me for 2 days later. Got to the hospital, he put me under. Apparently, after a few tries, he could not see anything inside my pancreas resembling a tumor. So he comes out and tells my wife that I can't see it, but I know it's there. I see a little shadow in one of the pictures. So he made her sign a release that he can go from back of my pancreas. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how. So anyway, I wake up after an hour or two, and he's standing over my head. And he says, hey, got news for you. You have pancreatic cancer. Just like that.
Wow.
And I looked at my wife's face, and her jaws dropped. That was the time that actor, what was his name, who died off of pancreatic cancer.
Was it Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yes, the great Patrick Swayze.
Right. And it was all over the news. So I'd heard about it, and I knew it's not curable. And while I'm laying down and looking at his face, I said, how much time I have? That was my first question.
Mm.
He said about 6 months and maybe 9, but we'll make you comfortable. Okay. Anything else I can do? He said, well, I know a great surgeon who did operate on my father-in-law a week ago. I mean, that's just amazing. And Dr. Tom Shires, he's a head of the surgery department, chief surgeon at the Presby Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And he still is. And he said, let me see if I can get you in. I was still in hospital bed when I received a phone call from Dr. Shires' office. And the nurse said, he wants to see you tomorrow morning. Got out there next day, he looked at me and looked at the results and said, I'm going to go in. I can't give you any guarantee. I don't know how spread it is. I don't have time for chemo. I just want to get in there and get it out. Okay, when are you going to do it? In 48 hours.
Wow.
So I got home, and I'm not a religious person, but I always believed in God, and I always talked to God.
Mm-hmm.
I was raising my grandson. He was a year and a half back then. And I grabbed him on my lap and sit at a corner of a park near my house. it was kind of evening, getting a little bit darker, and I started talking to God unintentionally. It was not programmed in my head to do that. It just happened. And I said, you put this in me. You're the only one who can get it out. I have an unfinished work. He's my grandson. I'm raising him. If he deserves it, give him my life back. If not, I'll put him in your hands. Just like that.
Wow.
And it gave me a relief feeling mm-hmm. once I did that. I felt light.
Right.
I felt like, okay, I guess I did what I had to do. Now I just leave it in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Went for surgery. It was a very, very long surgery, about 6 hours. And they got everything out, per what they said. And when I woke up, he said, we got as much as we could. We got your duodenum, we got your gallbladder, we got a portion of your small intestine. And pancreas is about 8 centimeters. And he said, we got about 5 centimeters of it.
My goodness.
So I'm left with 3 centimeters,
mm-hmm.
Almost one third of it. And they checked the margins and it was not malignant to the other environments in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It was encapsulated, what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It was extremely, extremely early detection. He said in his life, he has only seen 2 people like that.
Wow.
There was a Korean woman, he said, and me. And he said it had not been spread. So don't think there's going to be any problem. I hope not, he said, but we're still going to monitor you. Okay. Second day after surgery, he comes to me and says, I have to take you in and open you up again. He said, for what? He said, for some reason, you're developing severe jaundice. Mm. Of course, I couldn't see my face.
Yellow.
He said, look at your nails. Mm-hmm. I looked at my nails and my hand. They were yellow, just yellow, yellow, yellow.
Yellow.
And I was puffy. My hands were puffy. And my wife said, yeah, she had seen that, but she didn't want to scare me off. So here I was back in the surgery room. Apparently, the drop of blood had plugged the bile duct and caused a backup of bile duct.
Oh.
To him, it was just an easy walk in the park, I guess. That's how he called it. Got in and out in about an hour, I guess, and they got it out. And I said, what's next? He said, well, you'll be here another 20 days. We monitor you. Of course, no food, nothing through mouth. During the process, from the date that surgery started until the day that I was released, I lost about 32 pounds. I'm not a big guy. Mm-hmm. I've always been around 165, 175 range, and I'm 6 foot tall.
Oh, my goodness.
I was down,
that's a
down
lot
to
of weight.
138, yes.
Wow.
I was down to 138. I had nothing to fit me in my clothes, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife looked at me one day. I was coming out of the shower, and she burst in tears. And it took a while to get my weight back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a journey of 14 years. When I had my surgery, the survival rate was 5%. Now we are up to 12%. And that's amazing. I'm feeling good. I eat most everything that I want. I run 4 or 5 miles a day. I'm 73 and my life is good.
Wait a minute. You're saying you run a lot at the age of 73? That's fantastic.
Yes. Yes. I did 4.5 yesterday afternoon.
My goodness. Yes. You have not only did you survive it, it has given you a new lease on life. It sounds like you're as healthy as someone could possibly be, especially overcoming all of this.
I learned that. And when I came out, I made a deal with me and with the man above.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you gave me my life back. I'm not going to waste it. I was 60 back then, 59.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not going to waste this. And I have not been. I have been using my life to do what a good human being is supposed to do. I help a lot to the people. I do a lot of charity work. I love my family. I raise my grandson. He's 16. In fact, I just got him his last driving lesson yesterday, or the day before.
That's fantastic.
And life is great. I need to mention, throughout this process, I had huge support from Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
Mm-hmm.
I was in contact with them from day one. The amount of documents that they sent me, the amount of follow-up they did with me, the information that they did, the nutritional information they gave me, it was just amazing. And I've been acting very, very actively, helping other patients, talking to them, coaching them. I get phone calls from Chicago, New York, California, patients who are recently diagnosed. And I try to walk him through. I try to give him hope. And I know hope is there. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to get there.
For a fact, that is a fact. We're talking to Kenny Annette. He's a pancreatic cancer survivor. You're not only talking the talk, you're walking the walk. And Kenny, once again, remind everybody the symptoms you first felt and what made you go get examined.
I had a very minor pain in my upper stomach, and they're kind of lightly radiating to my back. That was the only symptom that I had, very light, and that early detection helped me. Had I not that, or had I ignored that, which I usually ignore these kind of pain, the doctor said I had another 3 months at the most before it spread to the point of no return. And that was the biggest blessing of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest to everyone, what I always advocate is go see your doctor. It doesn't matter how small, how little your pain is, how little your loss of appetite, diarrhea, change of facial complexion. Go see your doctor. You can go 20 times and do nothing, but one time is that one thing. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
I kept going for my lungs, thinking that my father's tuberculosis is acting up inside me. And I kept going and going and going. And that one time, the persistence that I had found my tumor, found my cancer. And here I am 14 years, and I'm planning to live another 25, 30.
Oh, I could see that easily. My grandmother is 101, and I want to be just like her. And Kenny, let me tell you, when you set a goal like that, it usually happens. It usually happens because you're doing all the right things along the way. Hey, Nicole, Kenny's told us his story about mm-hmm. surviving and how he's become an advocate. What's your story, and why did you get involved with the Pancreatic Cancer Network? Because I'm sure there's something interesting that they brought you into this particular light.
Yeah, absolutely. In May of 2013, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. At the moment, we were given very few treatment options, all with very low rate of survival. It was a very shocking diagnosis. She had very little symptoms leading up to it. Kind of the same situation as Kenny, pain, kind of a dull ache, pain in her upper right side of her abdomen,
mm-hmm.
radiating through her back. She started having some changes in her stool. She started experiencing really bad diarrhea and some blood loss, and went to the doctor. And about 3 days later was getting a biopsy done on her liver because they had seen a spot on her CAT scan when they were looking at her abdomen. And about 24 hours later, we were in the endoscopy lab and they were doing an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. And at the end of it, they said, you know, we didn't see anything remarkable in the stomach or anything remarkable in the colon, but we did see that you had a biopsy done on your liver. So they said that they were going to call pathology to see if they had any updated test results. And within about 15 minutes, the doctor comes in the room and says, I'm sad to tell you, but you've got pancreatic cancer. And same situation. I mean, Patrick Swayze had been all in the news. Steve Jobs had been all in the news. And I just thought to myself, this is it. You know, we don't have very much time. There isn't much hope with this type of cancer. And then, you know, as you start getting on the computer and researching, she had been diagnosed with diabetes about 13 months earlier. And sometimes pancreatic cancer kind of hides itself because the pancreas controls all of your sugar. Mm-hmm. And so if I, you know, hindsight 2020 now, if I were looking back, I would have been, you know, can we do some further research? Is this really diabetes? But you just, there's not enough known about it. And so, you know, feeling hopeless at that time was a complete understatement. So I did some research trying to figure out what options that we had. And I found PanCAN, the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
Yeah.
And it was the first time over a long few days and sleepless nights that I actually felt hope. And so I quickly decided to join forces with the organization. Their goals, you know, really aligned with mine at the time, which was to accelerate the progress in the fight, to hopefully get treatment options that had a better survival rate for my mom, mm-hmm. and for patients like Kenny. And I needed to feel like I was doing something positive in such a helpless situation. So I started helping organize community events like Purple Stride and participating in advocacy in Washington, D.C., just so that we could create awareness and raise funds to enact change. And that's the big goal. And I think what's so important for everyone to know is that, you know, in order for us to enact change, we have to advocate for these patients and we have to advocate for their families. And we need to provide more research and clinical initiatives and funding, even just for patient services, like Kenny was talking about, that, mm-hmm. you know, continue to follow up with him and send him information and help, continue to improve patient outcomes. And so, you know, my mom lost her battle only 27 months later in 2015, but little did I know my fight was only the beginning. Mm-hmm. And here it is 8 years later, and I'm more active in PanCAN than I was then.
It's absolutely amazing. And again, the fight continues. It seems like sometimes it only becomes in front of people's minds when somebody who is a celebrity or has great influence, they pass away from pancreatic cancer. And just back in April, I believe it was talk show host Jerry Springer passed away.
Yep.
Could you talk about that a little bit, about the fact that sometimes, like, you know, different celebrities who might wind up with pancreatic cancer, like Alex Trebek, you mentioned Patrick Swayze. Like I said, we just lost Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Paparazzi.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a sad moment that we lost, you know, another person, but it's also, in my belief, it is God's way of, you know, bringing a better light to pancreatic cancer. You know, even though their fight is over here on earth, Mm-hmm. You know, their fight is continuing on by just raising awareness for this disease. We also just had some really wonderful news, and I cannot think of what her last name is, but I think it's Maria Menounos. I believe she was from ET Online. Mm-hmm. She was a celebrity from ET.
Okay, and, Entertainment Tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she actually started having pains and was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And had a, she kept going to the doctor, not finding out, you know, anything new. They couldn't figure out what was going on, what was causing her the pain. And so she decided to do a full body MRI. And she went and had this full body MRI, and surely enough, they detected pancreatic cancer, a tumor on her pancreas. And because she got that early detection of getting that full body MRI, she is now completely cancer free.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Again, you got to know the signs, but you also have to say, you know what? I don't feel right, and not be afraid to go get a checkup.
Yep. Exactly.
Is that part of the biggest part of the fight is just making people aware, or actually people who are aware, but they say, I don't have time, or, well, they just procrastinate and push it back. Is that part of the battle?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of the battle. I think it's, you know, it's such a huge leading cause of deaths here in the U.S., but it is very undetectable unless, mm-hmm. you know, you show very specific symptoms, which basically make your doctors, you know, do further research. You know, it really honestly starts off with just an abdomen pain, and it, which feels somewhat like indigestion, you mm-hmm. know? And so I think, you know, a lot of times people dismiss that. Well, it was just something I ate, or, you know, it's just this dull pain. It's probably gas, or, you know, mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, your body better than anyone else. And if you don't feel like something's right, you just have to advocate. And if you don't get an answer from one doctor, I always say, go to the next one. There's something going on, and you know your body better than anyone.
Kenny, have you had a chance to talk to anyone else who was going through pancreatic cancer treatments, or you talked to them and they were able to actually decide to make a move and get a checkup? I know it makes you feel better when you know you're able to affect someone's life in a positive way. I'm sure you have a story.
Absolutely. I wear a wristband that says end pancreatic cancer. I've been wearing this for the last 14 years. Every time that I run, back of my t-shirt says, I am a pancreatic cancer survivor.
Awesome.
I won this battle. Mm-hmm. How about you? And I've had numerous people stopping me and asking me, what is it? I mean, at least twice, three times a month, people stop me. Mm-hmm. And I take different routes when I run. And they ask me, what is it? Or I've heard about it. Tell me. I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman and his wife about a year and a half ago. He was walking his dog and he stopped me. He said, I've seen your shirt in the back and it says you're a survivor. How did you survive? What happened? And I was middle of a run. I stopped and we talked about 20, 25 minutes. And I told him my story and I told him what I knew. And I referred him, of course, to PanCan like what I always do. And it was a conversation and we just walked away. About 6 months ago, I saw him and his wife walking. He was kind of frail. And I said, well, I haven't seen you for a while. We said, guess what? I have pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
He said, after I talked to you, you know, I told my wife that I've been having this minor pain. I need to go check it out. And he said, you gave me a reason to go see my doctor. I just pushed my. And luckily, he's still around. It's been a year and a half, almost, that He had his Whipple surgery, like I did, and he's around.
That's fantastic.
He was stage three when they found him, but he's still around. And a year and a half is a good survival time, believe it or not. Most patients lose their battle in about 6 to 9 months. So he is on his way. I hope he stays there long, long time. One thing that I would like to mention here, the death rate from breast cancer used to be very high. It is much, much lower because of people knowing about it.
Yes.
Because
being aware.
Advocacy. Yes. People know what to do about it. People don't know much about pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough money. We don't have enough funding to go do researches and do more advocacy and let people know. I don't know if it's appropriate to say here or not, but I want people to talk to their elected officials.
Sure.
It's just one option. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a non-discriminating disease. I'm not a smoker. I'm not a drinker. I've been in sports all my life, and I got it. Mr. Congressman, it can be you. It can be inside anybody at any time. You know, just like Nicole said, you may not know until it's too late. You have the power to help us and help yourself and your children. Give us the funding that we need. We are not asking for much. Give us the funding that we need so we can stop this, so we can stop you from dying, stop your children from dying. This thing is going to spread. It's not going to... We are progressing in survivor, but unfortunately, the rate of increase in number of diagnosis is increasing also.
Mm-hmm.
We need some help. We need some funding. And as I say, we, 360 million people in the United States, we need help.
Yes, we're all in this together. We're all in this together.
The Breast Cancer Foundation has got money that they don't know what to do with it. And we have to beg. We have to go around. We have to have our meetings and our runs and our walks and hope on $50 here, $50 there, trying to make it work. We need funding. We go to Washington every year and we talk about it. Unfortunately, we have not got enough response out of our elected officials. We got some, not much.
Mm-hmm.
We need some. And if this is the right place, if you can raise our voice and let people know we need help, ask your elected officials.
Yes.
That's the most important thing you can do for us.
Yes, that's one good way. And also, it's just about people being aware. And you just never know through private donors, private foundations, big money corporations, they may want to be an advocate for you. You mentioned before, Nicole, some of the different things that you've been doing to bring awareness. Can you talk specifically again how people can become involved? Because, again, we're all in this together. It could happen to anyone. Anyone in your family, your closest friends, pancreatic cancer is just a silent killer, and it's affecting a lot of people. Can you talk about some of the things that the events that you do that raise awareness?
Sure. So every year we have Purple Stride. So this year we had 60 events all happening on the same day in April. And so we'll do another one next April. You can join Purple Stride now and start raising funds and getting your teams together. And that's our big event of the year. That's our walk to end pancreatic cancer. You can learn more about the event on purplestride.org. You can also donate directly to pancan.org to help us reach our goal to double the survival rate by 2030. And you can also join our nationwide army of PanCan volunteers. Our volunteers move mountains for the pancreatic cancer community. And like Kenny said, the most important thing we can do is to advocate. Advocate to our congressmen. It actually is coming up on June 14th at 11 a.m. Eastern. We will be having an opportunity for the PanCan community to gather together live on Zoom. connect about our passion for making a difference and make our calls to Congress together. That is our Congress Day, our call on Congress Day this year is Wednesday, June the 14th, 2023. And since this year we're not going to be meeting in person in Washington, D.C., it is very important that we make the biggest impact we can by getting as many people to call and call to action for our congressmen and our senators, that we need their help. We need this funding.
Yes, yes, and hear, hear. With that being said, locally here in the North Texas area, how can they reach out to the Pancreatic Cancer Network? Is there a local number, a website that's more centralized to North Texas?
Yes, you can actually go on Facebook and search up DFW PanCan, and that is our affiliate page. If anyone wants to get involved, we're actually going to be holding an in-live event that day where we can gather together and make calls and be on the Zoom call together. There will be more information posted on our Facebook page about that in the upcoming days. And then if anybody wants to reach out about advocacy, they can feel free to reach me directly on my email address, which is Nicole. It's NMCCAIN at pancanvolunteer.org.
That is fantastic. And we will continue to spread the word. We'll continue to allow different people to use this platform to make people know that there's empathy out there and they can get together with you and help change things. Kenny, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And Nicole, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We got to do this again.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Tim.
And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And joining us now is, how do I put this? You've been a godsend for the city of Terrell. We're talking about Gilbert Willie Jr. from the Gilbert Willie Foundation. Gilbert, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I said a godsend to the city of Texas. Excuse me, a godsend to the city of Terrell. I say this because it's all about the kids, and your family has done nothing but support education and raising the kids in Terrell, Texas. First, let's start talking about how coming up later this month, there's going to be a special dedication of basketball courts, refurbished basketball courts, courtesy of you and your childhood best friend, Jamie Foxx.
Yes, yes, man. That's my boy, the great Jamie Foxx, man, the multi-talented Jamie Foxx. I mean, we were in the crib together and the baby crib together, man. That's how far back we go. But love that guy. And he's always envisioned and always had dreams, big dreams. That's how he got to where he is today in Hollywood and one of the greatest stars ever. But with the courts, he just called me. He said, Gilbert, man, let's do something big for Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I said, what would you like to do? And he just said, what about the park? Let's do something to the park in the inner city. And I said, man, that'll be great. He says, anything been done? I said, not in, in some years. And with that, he was like, well, let's do it. But within that time frame, we had COVID and some other stuff to kind of hit through and had delayed some things. But the city had gotten a bond pass, and they had renovated the actual baseball diamond, the baseball field,
mm-hmm.
and some of the other parts of the actual park. So when we saw that was done, the only thing they didn't get done was the actual courts. And these are the basketball courts that we came up playing on. One of the courts was the middle court we played, where it was adjacent to the other court we played. That's where most of our games were played, because when we came up, the bigger one was actually a tennis court, and they didn't convert it over to two full-size basketball courts probably about 10 years ago. But with it, he was just, the dream and vision was to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to put it together. So I went to work, and I did some designs and everything, and put it together the way I felt fit that would justify, him and myself. And with it, we came up with a masterpiece, and I had my graphic design guy to do all the artwork and design. And we went with a company called Next Court
mm-hmm.
to actually do the construction of the actual court. And they did a fantastic job, and they made us very proud, and the city of Terrell very proud.
City of Terrell put it on their own Facebook page. And then, of course, Dallas Morning News wrote all about it. We found out about it. And again, I'm just so proud of the effort. One thing about Jamie, and, I run into Jamie all the time. I'm not going to say I'm great friends with Jamie. Jamie know me when you see me, and, hey, what's up, Chris, and all that. But you are lifetime friends with Jamie. You and Jamie call each other best friends. He's always giving back to Terrell. He's never forgotten where he's come from. Can you talk about how big that is for the whole area of Terrell? Because Jamie's like the biggest thing to ever come out of there. He's one of the greatest entertainers in the world, but he's always talking about Terrell and North Texas and Dallas, Fort Worth, but he's always talked about Terrell. In fact, he was more than just, a guy who was entertaining in Terrell. He was on a football team. He was a quarterback, what?
Yes, he was our quarterback. But yeah, he's big time, man. He is the largest star that ever had come through Terrell. But with that, man, he's always just been grounded and had his loyalty to his hometown
mm-hmm.
of Terrell, Texas. And if you notice in some of the films or movies, he would always recognize his hometown of Terrell, Texas. In some interviews, he would always recognize his hometown of Terrell. And with that, that's just the love and passion that he has for home. He calls Terrell back this way realness. It's where the realness is.
Hey.
He said, sometime in Hollywood, you get a lot of fake stuff, but when you come home, man, it's what you call real people, real everything. So with that being said, man, it's just a loyalty. And yes, he as well, he was a great. I mean, this is the background of us. We mm-hmm. were our parents, my parents, his grandparents, his mother, which was his granny, Estelle Marie Talley, which was the catalyst, which was the force behind creating this, helping to create this great person, Jamie Foxx, and Mark Talley. And,
mm-hmm.
but they were catalysts. And he was football, he was not going to get started and play football. We had to first, I went and I tried, and I kind of failed trying to get her to let him play football. But then my dad, Gilbert Willie Sr., went. And he talked to her, and he had a little bit more success. And so she decided, she would let him play. And so from there, it was history. And he became one of the star quarterbacks for Terrell, man, passing over 1,000 yards. Hey, he was like Michael Vick running that ball too, man. He had a spin. He had a dangerous spin move, man. And, and his arm was just incredible. He could put some zip on that ball. But yeah, he was just a total athlete, man, all the way up. And it just wasn't to football, man. Basketball, I was a point guard. He was my shooting guard. He was actually playing my three guard. And I mean, he had a shot that was out this world, man. You kick it to him, he's gonna knock it down. And the other thing he was a tremendous defensive player. Very, very aggressive, you know, getting after it, hands defense. And so with basketball, then, hey, I'm going to keep going. I mean, it doesn't stop. We played soccer coming up. We were in the band. I played the trumpet. He played the cornet, which are similar. And first, second seed for the longest, you know, so we were successful in that. We won trophies in baseball as well. We played baseball all the way up. We were both pitchers. And we both was knocking the ball out the park, you know, and then it goes on. We can continue to track. And the brother was a bad high jumper, man. He went to state. Now check this out. Went to state in high jump, and his highest was he jumped 6'7". And so
my goodness,
this dude, man, that's what separates him from a lot of other people in the industry, man, because he has that full background, that true hustler hood background, you know what I'm saying? Where you had to be hard, you had to be something, yes.
You know what's so amazing is, we're talking about Jamie Foxx, the athlete, and we're going to talk about Jamie Foxx, the musician and actor, Academy Award-winning actor. You bring up the basketball, I kid you not, and you probably already know this. He came to a Mavericks game with his family, brought his family, and he said, "What's up, Chris?" And, you know, he's out there shooting with Luka Doncic. He's playing horse with Luka. Then
I was there.
Yeah, you're okay. You're there. So you heard me introduce him to the crowd in the third quarter.
Yes.
And you know, it was just a wonderful occasion because he was back home. And like I said, here he is doing all these athletic things you're talking about. And that's one of the reasons why this basketball court means a lot to him, a lot to the kids, because a lot of the times the kids don't have anything to go to after school. But he is a genius, literally. I mean, he's a great actor. He's a stellar musician, can play the piano, and yet he hadn't left home. He basically comes back to Terrell on a regular basis and gives back to the community as well.
Exactly. And it's all about the youth. And that's where his mind is. And then the youth come first. That's the first thing he wants is the youth, man, because he was like, if a kid like myself, can be successful, these kids can too. You know, you just have to have the opportunity and the chance. And that's where I came up with that logo that's on the court, believe and achieve. Because if you believe, you can achieve. And if I go spiritual, man, that's what gave us our foundation, man. All things are possible who strengthens us. And so that means there's no weapon formed against us. That means we can conquer and become who or be whatever we want to be. And that's the background we were raised. And then I left one part out. You know, he was actually at 15 years old, our pianist. You know, he played the piano for the church. And one song that he would always sing was Jesus. And he would tear the church up with that, you know, bringing the church to tears, you know, people in church to tears. But that's been his thing, man. And also, when I say the youth, it's not limited to the youth, but that's number one, because that's the foundation. That's where it all starts, from the youth, because they're our future. But it's also for the city of Terrell, man, for the people of Terrell. It's a give back. It's for everyone. And this dude is so humble, man. He pushes stuff out there just to give. He doesn't really want any credit. He doesn't want any credit at all.
Yeah.
And there were some people, some comments I read, and they were like, "That's kind of arrogant. He has his name so big on." He had nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? He doesn't care nothing about that, man.
Right.
This dude,
that was genuine. You. That wasn't him. That was
that
you.
That was all me. This dude is genuine. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you how genuine he is. When he wanted to do it, he was like, do the court. He said, "Gil, man, let's do it, man. Let's put our stuff on there." You know, he wanted me to put my information, my stuff on there too, from school, you know. And I was like, "No." I said, "Man, this is for you." I said, "You know, I will work together on everything, but this is your project."
Yeah, you know, this is part of his legacy. Yeah, part of his legacy.
Unselfish he is.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's who Jamie Foxx is, man. He's not looking for nothing more, you know, mm-hmm. but for comfort and to help others.
We're talking with Gilbert Willie Jr. And Gilbert, your dad, the late great Gilbert Willie Sr., they named an elementary school after him. And Terrell, can you talk about the legacy of your father? Because I think that's also profound and amazing.
Yes, he started out as coach. He coached Terrell,
mm-hmm.
And he would always work like three jobs. Man, he worked at Western Auto, the auto place, and he would work. He managed the swimming pool, and with that, his other duties as well. You know, just to give a full good living in life to his family. And he was always a hard worker, and he was at all of my games, you know, mm-hmm. and everything throughout my career. He was in full support. He would take me and train me. A lot of kids envied it because they felt like he gave me the edge by being a coach and with, you know, and a father figure who was there and would talk to me and you know, give me corrective criticism. And with all of that, he went on from there to be a middle school principal. He was there with Mr. Critton. He was assistant principal. Mr. Critton was principal at that time. And he was just steady moving up the ranks. And then he went up to the, from there, he advanced to the assistant superintendent of the Terrell School District. He's the first Black to ever achieve that goal. And with that, he's worked hard and he's admired by many. He had a school named after him, the Gilbert Willie Senior Elementary School there in Terrell, Texas, which they converted, which was John F. Kennedy. They changed it to convert it to the Gilbert Willie Senior Elementary School. And with that, the history of him goes as far back. And that's where I think some of my talents came from. He went to Prairie View A&M.
Mm-hmm.
HBCU. And then from there. Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly. And then from there, he went on, he got his master's and all from, it was East Texas State University, which is now the University of Texas A&M. But he, with all of those accomplishments and accolades, he just kept furthering his future and just making it better. And what he always told me was, because one day I was upset after a game, because in high school, man, I averaged, I had to get to that point, but I averaged 26 points a game, 90% from the free throw line.
Woo.
And this was without a 3-point line. We didn't have a 3-point line then.
Mm-hmm.
But what he would always tell me, one game, my junior high game, I came home upset and because I missed the game winning shot. And I jumped out the truck and went to run. I was running up and down the street, back and forth, running back and forth, back and forth. And when I got back, he looked at me, calm, cool, and collective. And he said, if you're running to make yourself better, then it means something. It's worth it. But if you're running because you're mad and upset, you're defeating the purpose. And that stuck with me all my life. Mm. And it meant so much. Because what he was just letting me know, man, don't waste your time unnecessarily. If you're doing stuff, if you're going to do it to make yourself better. Because you missed that shot, run hard to get yourself in better shape to maybe next time you have the stamina to knock that shot down.
Tremendous words of wisdom. Keep going.
And that's my dad, a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And when did they name the school after him? And tell us about that entire situation and how you felt when they said they were going to do that.
Well, we were ecstatic. We were just great. And we were just happy. A guy, the ex superintendent who was there with dad when dad was a assistant superintendent, he was just saying, we dropped the ball. We missed one of our legends. And he said, we have to get this school named after him. And so when Dr. Bruce Wood made that public and known to us, I mean, it was just, it was just a blessing and a relief, because we felt it, something should have been done for what time and he had, all the dedication that he had dedicated to the city of Terrell. And with that being said, he the school is directly across the street from the from our house where we were born. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and well, not where we were born and raised, but where our house is now.
Right.
So every day when mom walks out, she can look up. If I'm down there visiting, we can look, you know, step out and see his name in bold print on the school.
I love that. I love that. We're talking to Gilbert Willie Jr., talking about the Willie Foundation, the Gilbert Willie Foundation, and also the courts that you and Jamie Foxx have dedicated to the city of Terrell, and the city of Terrell is ecstatic about it. Let's go to the foundation for a minute here, because the Gilbert Willie Foundation, I think, is such a positive thing, and you're all about cancer research, AIDS research, and I understand you lost a friend, and that was one of the catalysts of starting the foundation.
Yes, I had a buddy that we lost, and basically, my dreams were always to be able to give back as well. And so, back when I started, I think the foundation was back in 2011. It was just to help, and we had some loved ones as well that we had lost, and it was like just wanted the opportunity to have some type of form of avenue to be able to give back to research, to maybe where they can actually find a cure or something for, you know, the AIDS, the cancer and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. The other flip side to it was, what's a part of it is the entertainment side. And so basically with entertainment and other type of things as well, like with this court, it allows us to be able to do things like that, especially having a friend who's in the entertainment business and a star.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually, it works hand in hand.
Yeah.
with that spectrum.
Well, back to the courts. I know you're planning a dedication, a ribbon cutting ceremony towards the end of this month, and maybe around the Juneteenth time. Can you give us a time frame or what we can look forward to and what's going to happen after all that is over with? Because I know everybody's proud of the whole effort.
Yes, we're shooting for the Juneteenth weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what our plans are is to try to have the ribbon cutting on that June 17th date. And tentative time right now, we're looking at 10:30 mm-hmm. that morning. And what we want to do is have a few different things for the kids to do, like maybe, you know, the kids that do show up, the 3-on-3 shootout, and maybe some free throw shots to see, you know, to determine a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And just making the whole event fun in such a joyous time and moment, being of Juneteenth, which is a very special date to us, that everything goes well and the youth truly enjoy themselves and enjoy the barbecue and everything else that goes along with it.
Well, I know the city of Terrell is excited, let alone the city officials. Like I said, they got it on the website, they got it on the Facebook page. And again, we can't thank you enough for what you and Jamie have done and your foundation. Is there anybody else that deserves a shout out that you say you couldn't be here where you are with this project that we hadn't mentioned yet?
Well, my mother, mm-hmm. My mother, she was in the school district and both her, she and my dad, they did 35 years in the Terrell school system in the district. And she was actually our music teacher. She had a master's in music, and she actually taught Jamie in music and myself. And she was very instrumental in our lives as well. And the true background of it all is keeping God first. And they kept us in church. And that's where, you know, what the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart. And so from all of this that was given to both of us, it just meant so much. It meant a lot. And I would like to end. I'd like to tell a story.
Sure.
About my dad and a friend of his, which Mr. Frello was a principal there in the Terrell school system, which he ended up dying of cancer some years back. and he had a school named after him as well. But those two guys, I was just bragging and talking, and we thought we were good. And we were like probably sophomores or juniors in high school. And we were talking noise how good we were, and that we could beat them and they couldn't beat us. And so they set it up. They arranged a time and a place for us to play. So Jamie and I in the gym, we flexing and going hard and talking noise. And both of the two, they were just calm and cool and collective, my dad and Mr. Frillo. And came time to play. Man, they went truly fundamentals on us, man. Back cutting, pick and roll, you name it. Knocking down the guys, layup, man. They embarrassed us to the point to where at the end of the day, Jamin, we looked at one another and said, man, what just happened? And it goes to tell you, it's not about always about the athleticism of the person. It's about the knowledge and wisdom of that activity, of that game. And they weren't doing anything quick and fast. It was just being fundamentally sound, proper technique, and putting that ball in the hole. But anyway, that was a fun, joyous story for us, but it taught us a valuable lesson.
Let me tell you something. Lessons learned, and it also shows you how impactful that things like that can be, especially in kids' lives, and what happens down the road, what the follow-up is, and how, you know, it instills things in their minds. The influence is what it boils down to, right?
Correct.
That is absolutely outstanding. Gilbert Willie Jr., I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. I mean, it's been fantastic. The stories, you know, we got to have a follow-up. We got to have you pop back on again sometime a little bit later on. Are you down for that?
Hey, let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. He is Gilbert Willie Jr. from the Gilbert Willie Foundation. And again, everybody in Terrell is so proud of you and Jamie Foxx, of course. We want to thank you for joining us, Willie.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you again. I'm looking forward to another interview.
Most definitely. And also thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.